Good afternoon and welcome to The Lunchroom, sponsored by Navita Designs, powered by Renault Construction and Industrial Products Limited. And we are live on Radio Caribbean International for Friday, December the 6th, day number 340 of 2019. This is our 193rd airing, and I'm your host, Calix George Jr. And you can get us on our website, rcistlucia.com, that's rcistlucia.com, as well as our Facebook live feed. Just search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International, and remember to please like and share that as well with your friends and family. And on the menu today, we're looking at Dominica's general elections, and are there any lessons here for us in St. Lucia? And a little later, I may be having two guests in studio to be speaking about education and a project being led by the Organization for Eastern Caribbean States. But before that, let's take in a few birthday wishes for December the 6th, and they go out to Mr. Jalim Udovic, Miss Therese Victor, Mr. Kazim Abbott, Miss Skylar Duncan, Mr. Malcolm Serie, and Mr. Nicholas Placide. A happy birthday to each and every one of you, and may you be blessed with health and happiness in the year to come. And for this day, some notable events which occurred in 1768 on December the 6th, the first edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica was published in Scotland. In 1865, on December the 6th, the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution is ratified, abolishing slavery there. In 1921, the Anglo-Irish Treaty was signed, and that realized an Irish dominion as well as the partition of Northern Ireland. And 1998, Hugo Chavez is elected president of Venezuela on this day. And in 2006, NASA reveals photographs taken by Mars Global Surveyor suggesting the presence of liquid water on Mars. And now we move on to our dish of the day. The daily dish is brought to you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
Get your tiles. We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossejoux Groselay, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And thank you for joining us here at the lunchroom this Friday. And of course, it is, in fact, election day over in Dominica. And that has caused quite a lot of interest. It has generated quite a lot of discussion here in St. Lucia. Of course, Dominica is perhaps one of the islands which is closest culturally to St. Lucia. And of course, from a common history, very similar history of both British and French colonization, very strong Kalinago presence as well, of course, all across the Caribbean. But in Dominica, it's still, there is in fact that distinct Kalinago territory, which was established on the northeast coast. And so certainly there has been a long-standing relationship with the two islands. And of course, that bond has perhaps even been strengthened as a result of grief and destruction, thanks to what was Hurricane Maria, Category 5 hurricane, which affected Dominica back in September of 2017. Since then, there has been quite a bit of recovery. Thankfully, quite a lot has been done to bring the country back up to functioning. We've also seen the continuation of a number of various projects there in the tourism sector. The Kempinski Hotel, in fact, which is now Dominica's largest hotel resort property, quite recently opened this year. And that, of course, has been a result of the Citizenship by Investment program there. Certainly, it has caused quite a lot of controversy, and we have witnessed that with this recent Al Jazeera documentary series focusing on passports for sale. I'm looking particularly at the issue of diplomatic passports, but certainly the overall Citizenship by Investment or Citizenship by Investment programs in the Caribbean have been put under scrutiny. And certainly, we are always asking questions here in St. Lucia about that CIP program, about what are the results in Dominica. We sometimes often say that, look, there are some very clear and tangible results that are coming out of that program, albeit, of course, the Dominica program and the St. Kitts program are far more prolific than St. Lucia. We have a habit in St. Lucia of being very late to the game in terms of certain types of initiatives such as that, revenue-generating initiatives. And that, of course, meant that effectively the horses had already bolted and they, in fact, were being seen, the results of which were being seen very much more in the case of St. Kitts this year. In fact, I think for the fourth consecutive year, civil servants member and persons employed under statutory corporations over in St. Kitts will be receiving a double salary for the month of December, or a bonus salary, a 13th month salary, so to speak. So certainly they will be very pleased for that. And of course, that is coming out of proceeds of the Citizenship by Investment program there. In the case of St. Kitts as well, they have seen quite a lot of investment connected to the CIP, or Citizenship by Investment program, down in the southeastern peninsula. You have projects, marina projects, Christoph Harbour, a number of other projects which have come on, real estate projects as well, which have been buoyed by Citizenship by Investment. Of course, the bigger issue is that of transparency. And the question is the windfall, the monies that are coming in, which are non-tax revenue, non-tax revenues, it really should have a very clear means of accountability. And so I think that is really where we need to begin looking at tightening the accountability and transparency of these programs, because the reality is it can be abused, and we have been, and there's, of course, there are many suggestions that in fact they are being abused. And so therefore I would really love if we could take a more regional approach to this whole issue of Citizenship by Investment. I think if we look at some of the successes that we've had in the financial sector in the OECS, for instance, the fact that we have a very stable and very responsible monetary union, the Eastern Caribbean Currency Union. Of course, headquartered over in St. Kitts, but with very good direction over the years. We've had very good leadership in that area, in particular, of course, from now deceased Dr. Dwight Venner, Sir Dwight Venner, and now Timothy Antoine of Grenada as central bank governor. And we've seen very responsible actions by the ECCB, and it shows that we can, in fact, assail, we can, in fact, ensure that we have good macroeconomic management. And perhaps we should do the same with the CIP, because it looks as if almost every island has gone that direction, with the exception, notable exception, of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Nearly every other island has, in the OECS, has this Citizenship by Investment program in place. And of course, there are implications, given that we are in an economic union, in any case, that the benefits that are given to citizenship if somebody takes it in Dominica are still going to be somewhat enjoyed by individuals in Grenada, St. Lucia, St. Kitts, as the case may be. So I really think that we should look towards having a regional approach to handling citizenship by investment, take it away as much as possible from local governments, central governments. Yes, they can benefit, of course, in terms of receipts and in terms of money, but certainly in terms of the oversight and control, that should be certainly moved away. And so you can have some very fixed individuals or agencies who have representation on those oversight boards, whether we have representation from the Bar Association, from the Caribbean Bankers Association, Accounting Associations, as the case may be. There are means, ways and means by which we can, in fact, have a much better citizenship by investment program in our islands, and I think it would lead to the benefit of us all. Of course, elections in Dominica goes further than that. There have been calls for electoral reform, and that, of course, has been largely driven by the opposition United Workers Party being led by Mr. Lennox Linton. Mr. Linton having a very long history in the broadcast sector in Dominica. Now, of course, we have to look at some of the issues that are being raised as objectively as we can. And if we're seeing very clearly some of the issues being raised do have some validity. The issue of voter ID cards certainly is a requirement. I think it's something that we've enjoyed in St. Lucia for a long time now. The system was overhauled, I think, somewhere back in 2004 or 2005 as well, where we got very modern new ID cards as well, cleaning out of the voters list. Those things have to be done regularly, periodically. And that, of course, is certainly needed in the case of Dominica. There's no doubt about it. The suggestion of excessive numbers of persons on the voters list was raised, the argument being that there are more people on the voters list in Dominica than there are, in fact, the estimated population of Dominica. So that's not very strange in the case of Dominica, I would say, because you have a situation of about population that has, in fact, been declining, somewhere in the region of about 70,000 persons. In fact, Dominica once had a population of about 80,000, I think, and that figure has been declining slowly over the years, over decades. I think so much so that it may have gotten down to about 69,000 at one point in time. Of course, it is a much smaller country than St. Lucia in terms of population. And so these things are going to be reflected in a very large way. If you look at St. Lucia's case, however, in St. Lucia general elections of 2016, even though our estimated population in 2016 was 178,000 people, we had on our voters list 162,883 persons registered. So effectively, that would suggest that there were only about 15,000 St. Lucians under the age of 18. And of course, if you actually look at the statistics, if you look at census data, that clearly is not the case. So what you do, in fact, have, in fact, you should probably have about 45,000 persons under the age of 18 in St. Lucia. We don't have that situation as reflected by the voters list. But the reality is that the voters list is going to be inflated because of issues such as migration. And persons have been migrating steadily out of St. Lucia. We know that that's a fact. And it's the same thing in all these various islands where you have a sizable diaspora, individuals who still remain on the voters list, even though they have migrated. Now, of course, this is where the issues come up, because in the case of Dominica, I believe the law is that once you've in fact visited the island once over a period of 5 years, you can still remain on the voters list. St. Lucia may be a little different as well when it comes to that regulation. But the point is, you are going to find yourself with a lot more people on the voters list than you have actually on island registered to vote. And that's where the big issue comes in right now with this tendency of political parties who would want to be able to do campaigning within the diaspora. They want to go out there and they want to encourage individuals to come in, to fly in, to vote, as the case may be. Now, obviously, what it means, therefore, is that parties which have more resources, a party that has a lot more resources than another, would be able to perhaps lend more resources towards flying in voters and bringing in voters, enabling voters to actually come onto the island to be able to vote. It's clearly not a fair situation, because it means, therefore, that parties with the greatest resources will be the ones who may very likely prevail in an election. And it speaks to the need for electoral reform. There's no doubt about it. But I'm raising it to say that right here in St. Lucia as well, we too need electoral reform when it comes to some of these issues. So I know there are a lot of people who have been very much pleased to call for electoral reform in the case of Dominica, but some of these problems exist right here in St. Lucia as well. And we need to be aware of them, because they can in fact have major implications, just as they may very well have in the case of Dominica. We must have a better system to be able to facilitate the needs of persons who may have traveled, who may not be on island at the time when an election is called, or the election day, so that they can have an opportunity to vote. All around the world, there are systems that have been put in place to do just that. You have mail-in votes. You have individuals who can, you can do so outside of the country. You can send in your vote. And it's something that we need to start looking at and seeing whether, in fact, it is feasible within our context, and I don't see why it should not be, to be able to ensure that that can be done. So that it should not be left up to whether a party, a political party, can afford to fly in individuals, to pay for charter flights and to pay for tickets to get votes in, or whatever it means the case may be. But in fact, it should be a much simpler, much more affordable, easy system, which ensures that wherever you may be, once you in fact are legally registered to vote, you can be given and you can be afforded that opportunity to vote. It's a very, very serious issue, no doubt, and it's an issue that is going to come up in elections, not just in Dominica, but all over the Caribbean. And certainly in the case of St. Lucia, it will be an issue here too. And of course, that speaks more to the bigger issue, the elephant in the room, and that is campaign financing. And we have seen time and time again where the question of how much money a political party has may very well determine the outcome of an election. This whole issue of my vote is for sale is a very serious issue. In fact, just this week I just happened to be speaking to an individual, and he was very openly saying that, you know, oh yes, you know, elections is coming, you know, and his vote is for sale. It has a price. And I was a little bit taken aback, of course, but that is the reality. That is the attitude of a lot of people out there, that they should be paid to vote, that they somehow have to get some direct benefit from a political party or a politician to vote, because their attitude is that you're not going to see the politician again, so pay me up front and bye-bye for the next 5 years. It's a very, very scary, it's very worrying position that persons are taking out there, that somehow their votes should be bought. And certainly we need to be mindful of that, because it has repercussions to democracy. In no instance should we be seeing situations where people's votes are being bought. And of course, we've heard of that. We hear it happening quite a bit all the time. And to tackle that, of course, you need to have better electoral reform. And part of that whole issue of electoral reform, even though it has not really been brought up in the Dominica general elections case directly, I should say, is that whole issue of campaign finance. Should political parties be able to spend whatever they want, however they like, on whatever they so choose in an election campaign? Or should these matters be scrutinized? Should they be placed under some form of regulation so that you do not have a situation of political parties spending money frivolously or perhaps even illegally on things like voter buying or issues such as flying people in to vote, whatever the case may be. Should there be caps on how much money political parties spend? Because the reality is, the question is, who is going to be paying for it at the end of the day? And where is the money coming from? All of these issues are being raised, and certainly we would certainly like to hear from your opinion, from your view, how those matters should be handled. And that is our dish of the day.
This has been The Daily Dish.
We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossejou Gros Delay, and Clark Street in DA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. Of course, you can call in to join the conversation. Our number here is 452-3046. 452-3046. And you can also call in via WhatsApp number at 724-0008. 724-0008. And of course, we are discussing the lessons that are at play from the Dominica elections. It is elections in Dominica today, and we are certainly seeing quite a lot of interest there, as well as some influence from the outside, certainly can be speculated. And so geopolitics can be at play. We heard from a representative on the United Workers Party campaign platform in Dominica, referencing the whole issue of what happened in Bolivia, and that may happen here in Dominica too. That's what his suggestion was. And of course, for those of you who may not have been following in Bolivia, there was a general election, and there were some questionable circumstances indeed. It was even described as a coup, where there was a military intervention, and it led to the fleeing of the incumbent, or then president, Evo Morales. Of course, there is quite a bit at play in terms of the individuals, the sides being taken. Dominica, just as Bolivia and St. Vincent and the Grenadines, have been very much firmly backing Venezuela, particularly their efforts at the Organization of American States. And of course, you would well appreciate the Venezuela situation has been very, very topical. It has been impacting Venezuela in a very, very big way. Of course, we've seen waves of emigration out of that country, that South American country. But we also know that the oil play is very much present, and the United States has great interest in seeing effectively the removal of the current or sitting president there, Mr. Maduro, Nicolas Maduro. And so it may very well be that there are external forces at play in the Dominica election. There was certainly a suggestion to that effect made by Mr. Ernest Tilher, and he was over in Dominica, or is over in Dominica. He was speaking at a political meeting in Roseau, where he opined that, in fact, there was interference, or that a number of the riots and the chaos which was being seen in Dominica was in fact being planned right here, or had in fact been planned in St. Lucia. Of course, that has not taken up, has been not be taken very kindly by the ruling party, the United Workers Party here in St. Lucia, by that suggestion that they have anything to do with what is going on there. Certainly, we will have to see how things pan out with respect to Dominica. And, of course, that is going to be coming up. We should see the results fairly early because in the case of Dominica, they have very small seats in terms of population. 21 seats, of course, and about 70,000 persons on the voters list. So you can easily appreciate that we should be seeing some early results by perhaps even 6:30, 7 o'clock. You'll be seeing results coming out because voting, I believe, ends at 5 p.m. in the Dominica election. Another matter, which of course is of importance and we can discuss a little further, because of course a lot of people are seeing the situation in Dominica, calling for electoral reform. Right here in St. Lucia, we have some glaring issues with respect to the electoral system. And one of them, which I want to discuss after the weather, is that of the disproportionality in the size of constituencies. So, just after the weather, we'll get back to you and we'll be discussing just that.
Christmas.
Yes, it's that time again. Navita Designs, now housed at Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited, Vite Boutte, is all stocked and ready to offer you the most unique and elegant Christmas decor for any space. Whether it's white Christmas, red and white peppermint, multicolored candy, or the more contemporary, elegant combinations, we've got it. Don't forget that small accent pieces goes a long way to give that wow effect. And what says Christmas more than the act of giving? So remember to pick up all your gift wrapping essentials and Christmas stockings to bring good cheer. At Navita Designs, we do the creative thinking for you. Visit us at our new showroom in Vite Boutte on the John Compton Highway or call us at 450-7246. Navita Designs Christmas Collection, sponsored by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Let the magic begin.
Fritas, Fritas, come and get your Fritas, yeah. We're giving them away at Island Style. Tell them that.
So are you mad? What do you mean, Fritas?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style,
we'll give
deal
and good timing too, so I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cass Trees, and Latoni, View 4, or call 452-450 or 453 tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer Batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer Brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264-4450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
A look at the latest weather report as of 12 noon. Today is the 6th of December, 2019. Our forecast to this hour is McLean Jean-Baptiste. Present weather at Huronora is fair, and at George Giles it's partly cloudy. Present temperature at Huronora 30 degrees Celsius or 86 degrees Fahrenheit. And last night's minimum temperature at Huronora was 27 degrees Celsius or 81 degrees Fahrenheit. The wind at Hiranuru is blowing from the east at 20 miles per hour or 31 kilometers. After a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., there was only a trace of rainfall recorded at Hiranuru, and 0.8 millimeter of rainfall was recorded at George Charles. The total rainfall for the month of December thus far, 20.1 millimeters at Hiranuru and 22.7 millimeters at George Charles. Sun will set today at 26 minutes before 6 and rise in the morning at 15 minutes after 6. Now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing from the east near 21 miles per hour or 33 kilometers per hour with occasional gust. The weather, fair and breezy, becoming cloudy at times with a few scattered showers later today and tomorrow. A recap of the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing from the east near 21 miles per hour or 33 kilometers per hour with occasional gust. And the weather, fair and breezy, becoming cloudy at times with a few scattered showers later today and tomorrow. Marine forecast for seas in a 25-mile or 40-kilometer radius from St. Lucia. For the Castries Harbour, the low tide will be at 8 minutes after 6 this evening, and the high tide will be at 22 after midnight. And for the Vierfort Bay, presently we are experiencing high tide. Low tide will be at 25 before 8 tonight. The seas are moderate to locally rough. The waves and swells are 5 to 7 feet, the same as 1.5 to 2.1 meters in open waters. Small craft operators, sea bathers, you are advised to exercise caution due to brisk winds and above normal seas, so please be guided accordingly. And for the Lesser Antilles, we are looking at fair skies, occasionally becoming cloudy with widely scattered showers. And our weather summary, a high pressure system centered over the Atlantic, northeast of the Lesser Antilles, will continue to generate a moderate to brisk easterly wind flow across the region, across our region, during the next few days. And low-level clouds drifting along the wind flow will bring occasional showers over the islands during the next 24 hours. A recap of the weather summary. A high-pressure system centered over the Atlantic, northeast of the Lesser Antilles, will continue to generate a moderate to brisk easterly wind flow across our region and for the next few days. Low-level clouds drifting along the wind flow will bring occasional showers over the islands as well during the next 24 hours. And that is the official weather report. Join us again in the morning for our next official report from the Met Service at around 6:30. Thank you, McLean, for the update. The weather was made possible by Island Style Thailand Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's weather news. For more information, call the weather hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Thailand Bat.
So are you mad? What you mean free tiles?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free.
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal. And good timing too. So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception.
Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453. Tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto, and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. Thanks for sticking with us. And of course, we're discussing the whole issue of the Dominica during elections today. I think that's going to be our main dish for the day indeed, because unfortunately, my guests who were supposed to have been coming in will not be able to come again. They've unfortunately had to postpone. So we'll be speaking about that for the rest of the program. We may have a slight discussion about DSH. Of course, you know that there is that horse racing event coming up next Friday, 1 week away, down in VA4. But before that, of course, if you'd like to call in, our number is 452-3046. 452-3046, as well as our WhatsApp platform, and that is 724-0008, 724-0008. And certainly, the question is, do we really need electoral reform right here in St. Lucia? Because we are perhaps not more than 18 months away from a general election, which is constitutionally due somewhere. It cannot be past July, August, September of 2021. I think even a little later than that. The rule is, I think, 3 months after the first meeting of Parliament. And Parliament actually met, I think, July of 2016. That was the first meeting of Parliament for this session. So therefore, it would mean that somewhere between October, all the way up to October of 2021, an election can be called. But it's very unlikely that it'll go that late. The tradition has not been to go all the way down to the wire and beyond that cutoff point, given that the last election was June 6 of 2016, right here in St. Lucia. So, big questions being which we must ask: how do you treat overseas voters? Should they all be expunged off the list completely? Or really and truly, should they in fact have an opportunity to vote? Because the reality is that people have to travel, they've got to go away sometimes for purposes of education or work, whatever the case may be. Should they not be given an opportunity to vote? Should there be in fact some sort of a cutoff point? And right now, I think it's about 5 years, but is that long enough, or should it be shorter? Should it be longer? So certainly it'd be very interesting to hear your views on that matter, as well as the issue of whether those individuals should be given the right to vote. Should we have some sort of overseas voter registration program where individuals, if you do want to actually vote and you are living overseas, you then have that opportunity to register and vote. Now, the reality is, the way the world is going right now, you even have countries that, in fact, you can vote online in a general election. Estonia, which is a Baltic country in Europe, they currently have that option of voting online. Of course, they pride themselves on being a very digitally literate country, and that may very well be the direction that we may have to consider going soon enough. We have a call coming in. Let's take that call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hi. Good afternoon, Dr. Grace. Great program as usual. On my plate is what is happening in Dominica and what it means for us in St. Lucia.
Right.
But just a slight segue off your issues on whether citizens are allowed to come home to vote. When, with me, my opinion is, yeah, if you're a citizen, you have a right to vote. However, I think the onus should be on the honorable men that we select and then elect into office. Because I think if the men that we put into office to lead our countries are honorable, a lot of the issues that are being experienced in Dominica and in St. Lucia would not be the topics of the day. You know, I think in Dominica, Mr. Skerrit has to answer certain questions about the allegations against him. I think unless those allegations are cleared up and put to rest, the people will always have doubts about him as an individual. Because the issue does not seem to be so much his leadership of the country. I mean, everybody seems to say this World Creole Festival was just held recently, and everybody was surprised as to where Dominica is now compared to where they were 2 years ago. But what seems to come up all the time is those question marks around his name. So
right.
It goes back to what you were saying about election reform and before that, constitutional reform. And I think this puts an emphasis on us in St. Lucia to go back to the table on constitutional reform and ask both parties why the inaction on constitutional reform, and really, really we the public should make constitutional reform the topic of the day.
Well, and caller, we may not even necessarily need to go the route of constitutional reform. What a number of countries have actually done is that they've just brought in secondary legislation. They've gone to Parliament and they've introduced legislation for specific aspects of how the system works. So very recently, we saw that in St. Kitts, where there's that attempt, I believe. In the case of the United Kingdom, they've gone a route of having an elections, fixed date elections act. So it's possible, but clearly there has to be some sort of agreement, I think, as to the way forward. And I believe the current administration, in fact, in their manifesto, made specific commitments to deal with things like having fixed dates for elections.
And what has been done since that manifesto?
Well, I think we know what has been done since the manifesto. I don't think we've even had a conversation about about that. So, but I think it's very useful at this point in time. I mean, given that what we're seeing, what is going on in Dominica, unfortunately, it has gone a bit sour in terms of the kind of the blocking of streets and roads, the chaos, almost a deliberate attempt to create chaos there. But we don't want to see something like that happen anywhere else in the Caribbean. But the reality is we have to deal with some of these electoral issues, which exist in all our countries.
We have to. All right, then. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, caller. Of course, very good points being raised there and the need to see something being done about it. Of course, as indicated, we need to get a fairer system. And I think that was being the call for a number of individuals out there, that yes, it's a free election, but is it fair? Are both sides equal in their ability to be able to get votes? Because at the end of the day, one would like to believe that we are electing, as the gentleman said, honorable individuals, women and men, for the purpose of governance. And it would mean that we are looking at persons who are competent, persons who are well-intentioned, who are coming into politics on the basis of good faith, that they are not looking to be self-serving. We are looking for persons who have the interest of the state as the priority and not other interests, whether they may be themselves or other individuals who they've got to report to. And by that I mean, of course, and that's where the campaign financing issue comes in again. If you have to go out there and seek support from somebody, do you end up being responsible to them or in how, what you do? We have a call coming in. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Well, Carrick, what's on my plate basically is just that I'm not tuned off totally. But I hear little things, so I'm not too much in tune. So based on what I've been hearing of late, it looks like Dominica is on the Peter solutions, whereas we have more things to look after ourselves. But on the pronouncement of people arguing that people living overseas should not come to vote, or politicians, quote-unquote politicians, should not be flying people in to vote. Alex, how many times you have heard politicians in these small states said, especially when they travel and go to the town hall meetings in New York, in return in Canada or anywhere else and say to the people that they have an interest. They should pay interest in the country.
Well,
and they
course.
Are very important people
mm-hmm.
to the country. So if you are saying to them that they have interest in the country and that they should pay interest in the country, you want them to contribute to the country, why can't they come and vote? Whether it be a politician or a train rider or a boat rider or somebody that bring them to vote. But you ask him, you go in there in town hall meetings and make this pronouncement.
And I think there should be no issue in terms of individuals having the ability to vote. The reality is that our countries are small. People are going to have to travel. They're going to have to move around for work. They're going to have to move around for studying, whatever the case may be. And the reality is that we are going to have a diaspora out there that is going to feel that they have a say in what is going on in their country. A lot of people, they still have property here. They still have ownership here. They have family here.
And you see, I had a discussion with a friend this morning on that thing. And I'm saying to him that he is saying that it is not right. I said, okay, it's not. You're saying it's not right. I said that it's not illegal. And there's nothing saying there's right or wrong about this. It's just that an opinion that he's sharing and other people are sharing. But what I'm saying is, the people that are living overseas have families here. And if they believe that the policies of this party or that party is benefiting their country and by extension, their family that lives in the country, why can't they come and vote to support either or in the benefit of the people that they have living here?
In fact,
this thing is serious. You know, people overseas, we ask ourselves, well, how influential? These people are very influential on remittances because they send barrels, they send monies, and they would tell their families, vote for this particular party. And based on loyalty to that family that have been sending that barrel and sending that little 200 US for you off and on, you feel obligated to listen to what they're saying because there's something called a domino effect. Correct?
Of course, Colin. And in fact, sometimes you even have these individuals setting up their own social media outlets, whatever they call them, news outlets and all sorts, and they're putting them out there across the world. So that's very well known, very much so.
I don't know why people want to make a hoopla about it. Even in St. Lucia, I could recall it was 2006, a certain politician flew students from UWE. You remember that, Calix?
I'm sure, yeah.
Students, a plain load of students came from UWE. Why some of these people have supported that at this time? They are the ones talking about this. And why, by the way, why are we so deep into the Dominican politics thing? Why?
That's a very good question, caller. I think there's a very strong relationship with St. Lucia and Dominica. And I think it has become stronger since Maria. A lot of St. Lucians have gone across to Dominica for work. In fact, some St. Lucian businesses have set up in Dominica since that as well. And vice versa. So I think that is, one of the driving forces as well. And of course, there is a very clear parallel too politically in the nomenclature. You have a Labour Party and you have a United Workers Party in both islands. So there's this, it's a replica.
I will just say to these people that have been advocates and trying to be advocates of the United Workers Party in Dominica, my brother, and whoever it is, their sister, brother, we have bigger issues there. Eh? As a matter of fact, we are seeing where Dominica's CIP money is going. We are not seeing where our CIP money is going. So Dominica is even in a better place. Dominica had that kind of master recovery after that hurricane there. We still have spots of Thomas here in St. Lucia today, If you drive around, you've seen places that were destroyed where bridges fell from Thomas of 2010,
Very correct, caller.
But
thanks very much.
Come on, get over it.
Thank you very much. Let's take a few more calls. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom.
Hi, good afternoon.
And what's on your plate today, caller?
I'm trying to understand the opposition leader in Dominica. If you have all your candidates in place and you are sure that you are going to win, why all the chaos?
Well, caller, that's a very good question. I think at the end of the day, he still believes that the system is unfair. There's an interesting argument there that he's making, but my understanding as well in FACOLA is that there was this attempt to have electoral reform in Dominica.
Yes, I heard that.
Over a number of years, and in fact, the very same opposition opposed it.
They were not interested.
Now, of course, they may have some very specific reasons as to why they were opposing it at the time, but I don't really know those details. But clearly, it seems as if, you know, it's at this point in time, you at the eve of an election, yes, to now go. And I wouldn't even have a problem with that, caller. I think the bigger issue is the disruption, going out onto the streets, not wanting to come out openly to condemn the actions of individuals who are in fact blocking roads and setting fires and disrupting, you know, the airport operations. I mean, there was a clear attempt, it would appear, to make life difficult and to create a feeling of fear within the country. And that's never good for democracy.
Because he even said if the OECS better not interfere or else, that's what he said, or else. Now, if you're sure you're going to win, you can allow the voting to go along, and as you get in, you do your own reform. But if you are sure that you're going to win and you're causing all that, it's because you are not really sure of yourself and where you stand. That is why you're causing that chaos there. Because if he loses, who is going to feel the brunt of all what the chaos that has been done? The government, the present government that's there, because I mean, all that unrest, all that problem, both the cruise ship has already turned their backs away. Mm. Lots of things are happening. I feel that shouldn't be, because, I mean, at the end of the day, he should have known, you know, about the reform. Okay, you let the thing go on. I mean,
and
it's true.
Yes, and as the courts have said, you can challenge an election if have evidence of impropriety, wrongdoing within the election. Bring your evidence, bring your proof, and therefore bring it to the courts and challenge on that basis. But I think they were trying to challenge even the fact that the election could have been held. And elections have been held in Dominica for many, many years. I think they have one of the longest running histories of election of legislative councils in the Caribbean, dating back to the 1800s in Dominica.
And can you tell me, so what is it Mrs. Skerritt has done? Because I heard that after the election, he should be put in an 8x6 cell.
Well, I heard something like that, or another person was mentioning something to that effect.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But I suppose you'd have to ask that individual exactly what is the basis for making that statement.
He seems to be an expert on that, and he was analyzing everything and felt. And I mean, you kind of stay in your own country and say those kind of things. Because, I mean, you're not in Dominica. Just because you're a sister party, you have to come out so hard on a gentleman. So what if the gentleman wins? What is he going to say? I also have another problem with the fact that people should not come if you live overseas for as a long time. As long as you're a citizen of a country, you remain a citizen of a country, and you are sending money, you come in to visit, you should have the right to come to your country and vote once you choose to. Nobody should stop you from coming and vote if you want to vote, regardless of how long. Because most people nowadays that stay, they don't stay overseas for long. They usually come on visits very frequently. They send all sorts of things. So, you know, they try to. So why you want to stop people from coming and vote? I don't think that should be.
Thank you very much, caller, for your opinions again. And let's try to take another call. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Good afternoon, Mr. Colleagues George.
Yes, sir.
And I'm first-time caller.
Great to hear your voice.
Yeah. But what I baffled by is in Trinidad, in 1961, Eric William bring identity card for people to vote. Mm-hmm. And today, in 2019, Dominica haven't got identity card to vote.
Yes, it's very baffling indeed, and I think it needs to be rectified. No doubt about that, caller.
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I don't like that, and I think sooner than later, next election in Dominica, they have to vote with ID.
Mm-hmm. But caller, it is very easy to prove. From what I know of electoral systems, it's very easy to prove if a dead person has voted, eh? Because if once you can actually show that, I mean, the person's on the list. Once you can prove that that person is in fact dead, and there's a record of everybody who votes, right? So if in fact you see somebody who has voted Mr. John Doe and he is in fact a pass, you can in fact challenge that election on that basis, you see? So I'm hearing a lot about the issue of dead persons voting. But in fact, if you know that the person is dead and you can, it's not very difficult to generate that death certificate to say that, okay, well, here's this evidence of this person being dead and here's this person on that list voting. So clearly, if that is the case, you can challenge the outcome of an election outright.
Well, I live in the UK for a while. Mm-hmm. And in the UK, you don't have ID to vote. They will send you your voting card at your address because everybody have an address.
Right.
You have an email, a posting address that your card come to you. If it's 3 persons in that house, they'll send 3 cards. If it's 4, they'll send 4 voting mm-hmm. cards. Mm-hmm. So they don't need an ID because
right.
you're there on the voting list. They know you vote last 5 years. And these 5 years coming, you will vote or whatever you will do, but the card will come to your house.
Once you're registered, yes.
Indeed. Yes.
But and it's very interesting that you raise the issue of the United Kingdom, because the other thing about the UK, and it applies here too, is that once you are a Commonwealth citizen and you are living in the United Kingdom, you have the right to vote. So even though you've only spent a month or 2 months or you're there just for study or whatever the case may be, you actually have the right to go and vote and determine who you would like to represent you.
Yeah.
So it's something that I think is also important to note in the case of the Caribbean. I think most of our islands have similar rules, and I do believe that a certain St. Lucian judge, he's now a judge right now, Eddie Ventos, actually took a challenge in the last Barbados general elections on that similar grounds. You know, because there was an attempt to prevent him from voting. So certainly it's something that we need to look at as well within that whole context of electoral reform. Is that something that we want in place? Should we continue it? Is it of good value? And how do we move on from there?
Yeah, but what the UK is saying, they'll give you a passport, and that passport you have dual citizen.
Well, we're not even talking about with the case of passports. You may not be a UK passport holder.
Yes.
You may have a Barbados passport, a St. Lucia passport, but you may be living in the United Kingdom. Let's say you've gone there for purposes of study. You can actually vote in a UK election.
Yeah.
You follow me? Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much, caller.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And we're a little bit over time at this point in time, but just to indicate to you that heavy voter turnout. We have a call coming in. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Yeah, what I would like to say, I really agree with what you're saying. You'll always find dead people's name on the list. Because
well, yes, of course.
They have,
people die all
people
the time, caller.
The same name. A lot of people have the same name. You know, there are people you cannot impersonate them name, like me. I'm the only Julian Montrop you'll find in St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Darrell Montrop and Cyprian Montrop. We are the only Montrops in St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get a junior, you know, but I'll be the senior.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need an ID card to vote.
But call
at the end of the day, at the end of the day, when you go to the station and vote, your name is there. If your name is not there, you cannot vote. So whether you have an ID card, yeah, in this day and age, Dominica should have an ID card. But they were the opposition, they were the one that didn't want the reform. So let them. So supposing they win the election, we cannot really make that a big issue in St. Lucia. All we know, we have it. So let them Dominicans that fighting against it deal with it, so they know in the next 5 years they will know to have something in place. So that will not come up again. That's all I have to say.
Thanks very much, caller. And of course, as you were saying, you will always have persons who have passed a deceased on the voters list. The reality is that persons are dying every day. The voters list only gets changed, I think, twice a year. It will get adjusted before an election usually, but then there's usually a fixed period, I think in February and some other date, is it November, where you actually have the release of those voters lists. So you will inevitably find that certain persons who have passed during that period will be on the voters list. And they, like, because there's a record of everybody voting in the election, you should be able to determine, in fact, whether a dead person has, quote-unquote, voted. And if that can be shown, then that entire electoral process can be challenged, no doubt about it. So it was in the case of Dominica. In the last election in 2014, we saw the UWP winning 6 of the 21 seats, their seats being the Roseau seats, Roseau North, Roseau Central, Roseau South, as well as Salisbury, which is on the northwest coast, as well, and on the northeast coast, Wesley and Marigot, and Marigot being the area where the airport is located. So certainly it's going to be a very interesting situation there, of course, and we'd be looking very keenly next week to have a recap as to what the results are. We do, of course, hope that whatever the results may be, once they can be shown to be free and fair, that hopefully they will be accepted by all and that normalcy will prevail in Dominica and development can move forward. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for joining us here. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., wishing you the very best for the weekend. Hope it's safe and blessed. Have a good one.